Hello, my name is Imani Monet. I am the owner of Beauty Strike, and Beauty Strike is a vegan and cruelty skincare brand and spa, which I'm sitting inside of right now. And you're tuned into Behind the Beauty Podcast. Hey friends, this segment is called Skin Deep, where we dive into a skincare topic, a beauty topic, or a wellness topic that has been going viral. And recently, I follow a lot of scientists on Twitter because, if you know, like, I love formulation, I love product formulation. No, I'm not a cosmetic chemist, but I do formulate the products that we come up with here at Beauty Strike. Thank you very much. Pops my suspenders. And we're gonna talk about the latest skincare, or hair care, I should say, trend that's been going on. And it's been about the braids, baby, braids. So braids that are not human hair, they contain synthetic fibers that are not good to the skin, hair, and body. And a lot of scientists have been just breaking that down and putting that information and putting the science, the most important part, the science, out there for consumers to know about. Because if you're not getting human braiding hair, again, these synthetic fibers are made of microplastics. They're made of just things that you don't want in your body and your head specifically. And it's one thing if it was just in your head. It's one thing if it was just sitting there. But once you heat it, once you burn it, once you wash it and dry it, what are those effects that it has on your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health? What are those effects that it has on it? So scientists have been sharing a lot of research that, and I'm gonna pull it up, that these microplastics that have been going into these synthetic hairs that are heated up have been covered with carcinogenics. Carcinogenics are products or things that can, you know, make you get cancer. So I'm going to share it.
Wonder what is being released in the air when I heat up my plastic synthetic braids. Somebody surely has done a study on this, right? Yes. And so here's what the study found. These two scientists took a machine that can take air samples and analyze them for whatever chemicals are in the air. And they found that as braiders are heating up and burning plastic synthetic braiding hair, volatile organic compounds are being released into the air, which are chemicals that can be harmful to your health. They can irritate your throat, lungs, and your skin. And also some...
Pause. So, all right, let's chat about that. So, VOCs are just volatile chemicals. It's not a specific chemical. It can be a lot of different chemicals that are volatile. And a lot of the ones that were popping up in the synthetic braiding hair were carcinogenic. And not only that, it's saying that it can irritate your nose, throat, and ears. Like, baby, that's allergies. Like, you know, what if a lot of people who have allergies don't really have allergies? It's really the hair that they're using.
The ones that they specifically found are linked to cancer. Mm. They, at the end, outlined future work. And this is really important. And this is why we need more people to study this. They're interested in knowing what happens, what chemicals are released when braids are dipped, what chemicals are released when braids are worn for weeks, days, what happens when they're blow-dried, any type of heat or prolonged exposure to this hair. They're interested in studying it. I am tasking my fellow scientists to look into this because we deserve answers. There are probably millions of Black women wearing plastic synthetic braiding hair right now, and we deserve answers because this is not a highly regulated material and it's on our heads. Okay.
Yeah, so it's really crazy. It's really crazy. So in the study, they tested two types of synthetic hair, flame retardant hair and non-flame retardant, which are ones that people use because, like I said, again, sometimes that they seal the ends with a lighter or with heat. And that's kind of what would make something flame retardant. Hello. Because the whole thing didn't go up in flames, right? So, yeah, this definitely matters because in our communities, being a Black woman, not just a woman of color, being a Black woman specifically, we have higher rates of cancer. We have higher rates of asthma. We have higher rates of respiratory system illnesses. And could this be a contributing factor to that? Why aren't there more studies about the prolonged use? Now that we have the studies regarding the use of it, and we're seeing how it's made, how it's literally like plastic strung out, why aren't we seeing the issues of prolonged use? Why aren't these companies being held responsible for what they're putting out into the world and giving people basically like terminal diseases for trying to look beautiful and trying to feel beautiful and trying to keep up with the beauty standard? Why do they feel like, why is this not being talked about enough? Why is there nothing being done? Why is this not even regulated? Why? I want to hear what y'all think about this in the comments specifically. And if you're watching or listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else where you audio hear this podcast, definitely share this on social media and let me know your thoughts at Beauty Strike NY, at Imani Monet. Let me know, because I really would like for this to become and be a bigger conversation, because the post that I originally saw, it didn't even have... Right now, while I'm watching it, it has like about 2.9 thousand likes. And this is something that should be millions, like millions of people should be talking about this, because millions of people wear braiding hair. And the human braiding hair is very expensive. Like if you're doing a whole head of human braiding hair, certain places it's a little bit cheaper. Like my sister, she lives in Jersey and she lives in some braids, y'all. She runs track. Could I say professionally? Because she runs track for college. So she is working out constantly. She's in the gym constantly. It's easier to wear braids than her natural hair a lot of times, because she's in and out of workouts. She's running track. She's at track meets. It's easier to just put your hair up, and she sweats a lot. So, you know, it's easier to just wash your braids, reheat it, you know, like blow dry it and then go about your day. So I really just want to talk about this and make this a bigger and wider conversation. Thank you so much, Raven Sci Maven, and that's Raven SCIMAVEN, for sharing this. I definitely hope that your community keeps studying about this and keeps sharing, because this information is so important for us to know. So many women, so many people in our community wear braids and use braiding hair. So this is super important for us to know. And I, again, hope that your community keeps the work going about it. I hope that so many people share this and so many people, you know, learn better, because when you know better, you do better. And thank you so much for tuning into this topic. This has been Skin Deep. So before I even had to tried to begin this podcast, I literally had to take a break, go and find my pumps, because obviously I was thinking about my baby too much or something, and literally like water gun. Like nobody tells me how your boobs literally turn into water guns after you have a baby, because as soon as you start thinking about them or it's around the regular feeding time, your boobs go like literally embarrassing. One day, this is so embarrassing. One day I was driving, and I have a bag where I keep my pumps with me. Like, at all times, I keep my pumps. I keep, like, some milk bags. I keep the charger. And I even keep a like, piece that changes my charger from going into a wall into going in my car's charging port, because you never know when you're going to need it. So I was driving. And then all of a sudden, like, I got the urge. And that day, I didn't really pump that much. So I was just like, let me just pump while I'm driving. I do that all the time. Especially because now that I'm back at work, my pump schedule is the same time that he feeds. So I'm pumping on my way home. I pull out my boob at a red light. My whole steering wheel just gets milk gunned. Like, yo. My steering wheel was so wet. It was, like, so sticky. I just was, like, I couldn't believe that just happened. Like, I literally could not believe that just happened. Like, literally just, whew. It was so embarrassing. It was just, like, what? Even though nobody was there. It was just me. I was just still, like, yeah, I cannot believe that my boobs just did that just now. Like, I could not. I felt. Like, we wasn't on the same page, me and my body. But this episode is not going to be all about my milky boobs, obviously. I wanted to speak about the growth in motherhood and your professional life, like balancing both motherhood and your professional growth, because I'm doing an event coming up January 11th. I don't know if you're watching this or listening to this a little past then, but I am going to be a part of a women's panel on January 11th discussing growth and the challenges of motherhood. So I wanted to do a podcast dedicated to this, so before we go on to the panel, I can speak about it, my thoughts, as well as talk about some other things. We have some beauty hot topics coming up that's not just about skincare, but also about beauty and hair and everything else in this podcast. So definitely stay tuned, and we're gonna begin. So navigating motherhood and your professional growth. I'm doing a in-person panel on January 11th at the Lips Cafe. Lips Cafe is a vegan cafe in Flatbush. It's black owned. It's very good, very beautiful space. I've been to the space so many different times, whether it was for screenings, whether it was for a friend's art show, or just to eat and meet up with a friend. I actually just recently went there with my baby and another woman who lives on my block as well. She had a baby. I think our babies are a month apart. And we had like a little cute mommy date there. So it's definitely a neighborhood staple. Really great food, really great ambiance. And again, it's black owned. So I can't wait to have this panel and meet the other women, meet the other mothers that are there. I can't believe that I'm a part of the mother crew. And this podcast, I know that we speak about my personal experiences, other people's experiences. We have guests on that come on and talk about their experiences, and not just with motherhood, with life, with navigating life, with navigating dating, with so many different things. And this podcast is not turning into a motherhood podcast, but that's the level and the step that I am in life right now. And I'm just gonna chat about it for a little bit, okay? If motherhood doesn't suit you right now, still tap in, because I wish that I knew certain things before becoming a mother, things that I didn't even think to ask or think was possible. I'm just gonna say it, like, other than you and your family, and that may have even a question mark or asterisk, nobody really cares that you're pregnant or that you're having a baby. Like, your bills won't stop. your job won't stop requesting things from you. Yeah, nobody cares. I didn't realize how much nobody cares until I realized how much nobody cares. And by then it was like, shocker. You guys are mean. Like, you know? So yeah. Navigating motherhood for me, as what it has to do with professional growth as well, is, you know, I own my own business. We're sitting in it right now. But a lot of people misinterpret that as when you own your own business, you control your own schedule and you don't have to work as much. One of those statements is true. And the statement that's true in there is you own your own business. Like, I do not control my schedule because clients control my schedule for me. And you do work. A lot of times when you purchase a business or you buy a business or you start a business, a lot of the times you're buying a job until that business becomes profitable without you and you can take a step back. And that doesn't happen overnight. It's not like an overnight thing. It's not something that you can predict when it happens. It's not something that you can just like alter to make happen. It's just something that happens a long time. So a lot of people don't realize it, but yeah, you're buying a business. You're buying a business. So I bought a business essentially, or bought a job, I should say. So I bought a job. So instead of me having this job somewhere else, I bought the job and now I am customer service. I am the person on the back end who does the paperwork and stuff. And I'm the front facing person. And that's rewarding to me because I know that I just feel better being my own boss, but that's not for everyone. It's a lot of mental, you have to be very strong mentally to have your own business, especially while you're going through motherhood. Because like I said, nobody cares. And the alternative is to work for somebody else. That's personally, I don't want to do that. There's nothing against it. I have friends that have their own jobs, and that have jobs and that have kids, and they make it. They do absolutely fine. And making sure that you're a part of the right company as well. Like, what's the work-life balance? What is the culture surrounding pregnancy? What are some of the health benefits that you have at your job? And honestly, having a 9-to-5, like, you get to really shut off when it's 5. When it's 5, you get to shut off. As a business owner, you don't really get to shut off. Like, that's not a thing that you get to do. You have to answer an email. You have to, and it's not only just from, like, customers. You have to answer an email, say, like, your landlord, they're doing construction in the building. They need to access your space or whatever, you know? Like, there's so many different things that go on. What if something breaks that needs your attention? Now you need to get it fixed. Get somebody to get it fixed. Like, these are things that are not going to just stop because you're magically pregnant. Like, it's not going to stop. And with working a 9-to-5, that's more of a possibility that you may have more flexibility and be able to really enjoy your pregnancy, because outside of your work responsibilities, you're not thinking about like fixing something if it broke. You're not worried about making sure that somebody is there because somebody called out last minute. And now you have to like come in. There's been plenty of times where I was pregnant and somebody like got sick or whatever and couldn't cover their shift. And I had to come while I was pregnant and come cover their shift because it gotta be done. Like, things have to be done. And with professional growth in a traditional 9-to-5, it's either you put a certain amount of time in or you get a certain amount of accolades, like whether it's a degree or company accolades, like say you hit a sales quota or something like that, then that's the navigation for growth. That's where you get more growth. Or even like job hopping, like more people who work traditional 9-to-5s, they see more growth in their field when they actually collect as many accolades inside of that one job and then leave and then go to another job and request more pay. That's not something that I can do as an entrepreneur. Like, so I'm just like, you know, navigating growth as an entrepreneur, it's a little bit different because a lot of times, like I said earlier, when you're an entrepreneur, sometimes you trade your time for money in the beginning, especially being a service-based entrepreneur. Yes, we do sell products, but in the last year, I haven't, be honest, accountability, our services outweighed our products in the last year. A lot of times, or the past couple years, the products outweighed the sales in person. So it was more so like the products were keeping us alive and the services were, while they were great, I'm not gonna sit here and say like, oh, like we didn't have a lot of customers. We averaged about 150 appointments per month. And that's an average. That's not like, some months we had 350, some months we had 250. But on average, we had about 150 appointments per month. But the product sales were beating that. And this year, it kind of took a hit with the product sales and the services were more so what was contributing to the growth of the company. So with that being said, like me being pregnant and doing services, that was like, whoa. And being an entrepreneur, a lot of times you trade your time for money, just like in a traditional job, until you find systems and things that work that helps you scale. But while I was pregnant, like, okay, the first 3 months of my pregnancy was like, OMG. First of all, personally, I was going through a lot. And outside of just like being pregnant, it was like family issues were popping up. Friend breakup was happening. And just like navigating how I wanted to show up in certain friendships. Because I knew I was pregnant in December of last year, but I didn't really tell anybody until March of that year. I told some people in February, but I didn't tell like everyone until March. And it was just like interesting navigating going forward in pregnancy. Like I definitely knew that I didn't want a public facing pregnancy, but the first 3 months were so hard. Like when I tell you like the sleep, like I couldn't get sleep. I could barely breathe. It was so hard to breathe. Even on one of the podcasts that I shot, I think one of my last podcasts, oh no. So the podcast before this was audio only because I've been trying to experiment and do more podcasts. I don't know if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this on Amazon, Spotify, anywhere that you find, even Apple, anywhere that you find your podcast. But I did an audio only podcast, but before that, my last podcast, I was pregnant. And I don't know if you can tell, but I really could not hold air in my lungs. When you're pregnant, everything is just moving up. So your lungs are just so high in your body. It's so hard to breathe. So I was really experiencing that, especially the first 3 months. It was just like, whoa, like I can't breathe. It feels like I just ran a mile every single time I went to open my mouth. And then just the fatigue. I was so, so, so tired. Tired to the point where it was like January, which it depends what week it is. It could be a really fast week for us or a really slow week. And depending on what the weather is like as well, because it's winter, you know? But I would literally like sleep until like an hour before I had to come into the store. And there had been a few times where I overslept or I didn't hear my alarm or I'm arriving when the customer is arriving because I was so freaking tired and fatigued. And some people just didn't understand it, which I all due respect, you know, you don't know me. You know that you're getting a service. That's it. You want to get your service and go, right? But, oh my gosh, it was like, I'm arriving maybe 10 minutes before a treatment is supposed to start. And I'm like rushing to prep the room, this, that, and the third. The person had been here 15 minutes early. So they're like upset that they waited 5 minutes. And I'm just like, sorry, like, you know. And because I wasn't showing, people didn't understand I was pregnant. And because I didn't want to, like, I've had a miscarriage before. It's not something that's like close to the chest for me to not say, but I've had a miscarriage before. I didn't really want to speak on my pregnancy and me being pregnant until I knew for sure after the 3 month period that I was pregnant, you know? So yeah, I was just like, yeah, but it was just so much trying to balance my first 3 months of pregnancy, own a business, try to grow as well, because I was going into the new year, 2024. And I didn't see this year being as hard economically as it was for everyone. But it was, and I didn't have things in place like newsletters set. Things just set up for when I didn't feel like I could work, I needed to do the work. I was so used to like running around with my body, then going home, or before I run around with my body, do these services, schedule newsletters, send out newsletters, do a live maybe if there was like some time, and edit some content, because I have so much content inside of my phones. Like, I was so used to doing those things on a day-to-day basis, I didn't know how to handle it when I just couldn't do anything. I could only get one task done a day. If today is treatments, I'm only doing treatments, and I don't know how much energy I even have for that. Like, it was just, it was a new version of me that I was learning, and I didn't understand that that's what was going on until literally, like, I would say my 8th month of pregnancy. It just took so long for me to adapt, because I kept thinking, like, I could do this, I can do this. I'm used to doing it. I'm used to running like that. I'm used to doing these things, but I just couldn't anymore. And then I was just like, but how do I grow professionally if I'm going below what I'm normally used to doing? Like, how do I grow professionally? And my partner showed me this this meme. I don't know what to call it. It was a meme, I guess. And it said something that I just couldn't get over, and I'm looking for it because I asked them to send it to me. And it just like really helped my mentality. It helped me recently. Like, this is very recent. They I think it was like last week that they sent it. That's why I found it so fast. If you're watching this on YouTube, you saw me. In modern capitalism, a business that merely brings in a steady profit is considered a failure. Success is defined by continual unchecked growth. In biology, we have a word for continual unchecked growth: cancer. So while I was trying to figure out, like, you know, do I continue doing things the way I've been doing them? Meaning me doing services, me doing products online and in person. Do I continue doing that? Do I continue having a store? Do I continue, like, what do I do to grow the business? Also to have more time to spend with my son, because now I do have another person to love and to look after and to watch them grow as well. Like, what do I do? What do I do for growth, you know? Because in a professional sense, me, if I were doing this, I've been owning a independent brand for about 7-8 years now. And if I were in a 9-to-5 career, what would my career look like if I was doing that same specific career 7-8 years and leaving a job probably every 2-3 years for the next level up? And I started to think about that, because I've never thought about the traditional route. I've always thought about being a business owner. So I just started to think about that traditional route in sense of where do I want to be in my business, if that makes sense. Because where would I be if I had taken that professional route and have job hopped, acquired new skills, et cetera, in every 2 to 3 years? Where would I be at that 8th year of doing that? Because I'm in my 8th year of business, right? So what would that look like? And honestly, it kind of, I'm getting like goosebumps. It kind of shook me to my core where I had to realize I am further than I think that I am, but I still have so much more to go. My teenage years kind of set me up for my 20s, and my younger 20s kind of set me up for my older 20s. And now that I just hit 30, I hit 30. I had a baby, and my lease was up for the store all in the same year. This year was a lot. Among other things. Other things happened, but just those things alone, you know, were a lot. They were a lot. I'm here. I'm healed. I'm okay. We're still navigating and figuring things out. But what I can say is that, like I said, I have done a lot in my life and my career, and I still have a ways to go. Being someone who, I don't come from money. I don't come from a like two-parent household where I saw mom and dad manage finances. I say that you never know what skills you're going to pick up from working a 9-to-5 job and what things are going to benefit you from working a traditional 9-to-5 in your entrepreneurial career. Because I did work 9-to-5 jobs, but professionally, I feel like I kind of hit a plateau of what I can do on my own, and I need to really find a business coach, somebody that can like help me get to that next level, review my systems, review my things, and see where I can be better at, see what I should do moving forward, what makes sense financially, fiscally, and just try not to put too much stress on myself and just like not fall for the financial ways that I was shown growing up, but to navigate and think for the future. Like simple things like calculating my expenses that I know that I have, like my fixed expenses every month. I wasn't doing that just because certain things would be a variable, like shipping, like how many products did we ship out this month? You know, I wouldn't count that. I wouldn't save money on the side for like, okay, this is how much money the products made, but then like minus shipping, minus fees, minus all of those things from it, and then like see how much I have to restock, and then like that's my profit. Like I wasn't doing those things until recently. When you learn better, you do better. You do better. You do better. You do better. You just do. Okay. You just do. Okay. And motherhood has been so rewarding to me in that way, because prior to this year, and it's going to sound really crazy, especially if you follow me on social media and you've seen me take vacations or whatever, I haven't really rewarded myself and put myself first since I started a business. Like in reality, I didn't do that. I didn't think about myself first, my living space first, things around that, and then the business. I thought about it the other way around. Like I made sure that the business was fully furnished, painted, this, that, and the third, products, labels, a mini heater, air filter. I don't even have an air filter in my own apartment. Like, I completely put the business and everything before myself. Like, there's been so many times where I've paid employees and I didn't pay myself. And now that I'm a mother, I can't do that anymore. Like, I literally can't do that anymore. I cannot think about somebody else and their family before I think about me and mine. Like, I just, and it's really, if you've listened to my previous podcast before, like, you've heard me talk about being a people pleaser, this, that, and the third, but that's just part of the extent that it goes to in people pleasing, to the point where I didn't even pay myself first or pay myself at all. Like, it's one thing to not pay yourself first, because you may get a smaller portion, but not paying myself at all, and I'm doing most, if not all of the work. It's been so many times where I've done most or if not all of the work for things, whether we had a surge of online orders, I did all of them myself. Or I'm working alone in the store for multiple days and didn't pay myself, like, because I'm worried about paying somebody else. It's happened so many times. And these are untold stories that a lot of entrepreneurs have. So I'm not a special case in that way, but it's definitely a thing that a lot of entrepreneurs have. But motherhood has changed that in a way where I'm like, no, I need to put this away for my baby. I need to put this away for myself. We need things in the house. And I need to think about how I'm going to do that, you know? Like, so it's definitely made me better in that way. And it's only been 4 months. So I'm so excited to see, like, what the next year of my life will look like, how I upgrade in my personal life because of that. Like, yeah, before I had a baby, I definitely wanted a car. I needed a car because a car would help me get to work faster. Like, it's so cracked out. It's so cracked out how much, like, I invested and put into this business. And that's why I want it to work. That's why I love my customers. That's why, like, I love what I do. It is still work. A lot of people are like, oh, if you love what you do, it's not work. And it's like, baby, it's work. I'm getting up. I don't want to get up out of bed. The other day, it was raining. Me, my baby, and my man was cuddling in bed. We was, like, sleepy. We looked at each other, rolled back around. We was all warm, cuddling each other. We had a good dinner, so we all was full. Like, the baby full of milk. We full of food. Like, it was so good. It was raining or snowing. The window was slightly cracked. I have blackout shades. We have the humidifier just pumping. Baby, I did not want to roll out of bed. But you know why I did? Because I have to. It's called discipline. It's not called, I don't know, some different level of maturity from being a business owner. But I know that if I'm doing that on a day-to-day basis, now I need to get paid for that. Now I need to get paid for that. I don't care. Before, it was to build a business. Before, I was taking L's to build a business. Going in debt to build a business, like personal debt to build the business. But now, at this point, now I have this little boy. Now it needs to be profitable or nothing. Profit or bust, baby. It needs to give me some coin or bust. Like, and people, I've heard a lot of people say that around the 5-year mark of having a store. And I've had this store for 5 years now. Well, next year we'll make 5 years. Next March we'll make 5 years. But I literally, like, it has been night and day, and I can't believe that. It's been just that. And with that said, I want to be constant and just continuous in building other things outside of the store experience and the shopping online experience. I miss having communities online. Like, I miss when people said, oh, I came in because I followed you on Twitter and I saw you spoke about this, that, and the third. Like, I miss that. I miss going live and doing my skincare bingo and, like, just asking people about skincare games and having my little bingo music and, like, sending people prizes. I miss that. I miss doing clients that specifically came to see me. I miss that. I miss sending out 300 orders a day. I miss that. I miss the stress of that. And what's going to happen is what I need to do is essentially be more consistent with my online content and teaching people. I love educating people. That's the main part about why I love doing the in-person work, is because I love to educate people. I love to speak to people. I love to get to know people. I love to talk. I love to chat. And having a podcast and being consistent with it lets me do that. So I plan on being more consistent with this, even if it's just audio only, because let's be for real, I'm a mom now. Sometimes you ain't gonna get the hair slayed, face slayed. Like, I might be leaking milk, hair is up in a bun, face is moisturized, but it may look a little, you know, I might need a little microdermabrasion, okay? I might need a little chemical peel, okay? So, whether it's YouTube, where you're watching, or Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, we gonna be here, baby. We gonna be here. And I hope that you have the chance to visit and come on January 11th to the in-person panel talking about motherhood and professional growth. I really hope that you have the chance to. But if you don't, I'm glad that you got to listen to this. And after the event, I'm pretty sure with hearing other people's perspectives, I would definitely come back and chime in again and talk about, you know, the new nuances that maybe I haven't covered in this podcast about motherhood and professional growth. So thank you so much for watching. I hope to see you in the next podcast, where we're going to talk about turning the dirty 30, baby. And if you've ever, birthday blues is a regular thing for people, not saying that it's regular to have it all the time. But birthday blues is definitely a thing. And it's another level when you're turning like a milestone birthday. And we're going to talk more about that in the next podcast. So make sure you turn on the notifications. If you're on YouTube, hit the little bell. If you're on Apple, Spotify, just follow our podcast and turn on notifications so you can know and see any updates in real time when we post. And I'll see you in the next one. Thank you so much for watching.